we welcome you back to Crunch Time. It's a Thursday. We wrap it up with...
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's time to get ready for the NBA draft and maybe talk some NBA. MLB, it's the lightning round. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, you... These are getting worse.
I don't know. I think each week we tie for last. I don't know if worse is possible.
Well, all right. You kind of answered this one by talking about the Mariners, but what's the deal with the AL West? From day one through the start of June, the Mariners and Rangers flip-flopped and were in tight contention for first place, never getting farther apart than 2.5 games. But suddenly, the Rangers have started to run away with the West, taking their lead up to 10, and now the Astros are actually in second place by a half game over the Mariners. The Astros themselves have been on a roller coaster ride, watching their run differential bottom out at minus 35 about 30 games into the season, and now it's worked its way back to almost even. The West is as wild as ever. Hey, for almost the entire month of May, you said, come back to me in a month about the Mariners. Now that month has come and gone. The Mariners' collapse was always coming. It's time for a good old-fashioned Texas shootout through the rest of summer.
Ooh.
B. The Rangers should be surprised at how well they're doing with Yu Darvish having only made 3 starts and prospects coming up and down all season long. They're lucky to have this lead and need to worry about holding it. C. The Astros are finally coming around, and even though their pitching isn't what it was last season, Carlos Correa, George Springer, and Jose Altuve can carry this team back into contention.
I'm intrigued by Houston because also, let's not forget, Keuchel could pitch much better than this, and they've won 8 of 10. They've actually made up 5 games on the Mariners in a week, which is kind of hard to do. While I don't trust Texas, while I obviously think that their pitching is still a little suspect, and I think, who was it, Colby Lewis went on the DL.
Yeah.
I got eye on Houston, not necessarily contending. 10 games is a lot to make up, but playoffs for sure. I'm going with C.
The Giants tied the Cubs for the National League in wins today with their 47th, and tied with the previously mentioned Texas Rangers, who lead the AL in wins, also with 47. The Cubs were the darling child for the first 2 months of the season, and many thought they would waltz their way into the World Series, but now have been caught up by 2 teams that have slid under the national radar. A. The Cubs still have the best overall team to get the chance to be on one of the... they still have a chance to be one of the best all-time teams when the season ends and really contend for a World Series title. B. Any of these teams might end up being the top team at the end of the year, but none of them will end up matching the win total of the 01 Mariners or 1906 Cubs. C. We've seen it with every team and every sport now. The regular season win total means nothing, and if anything, might be a curse stopping them from winning titles.
I'll tell you what, anybody who was convinced the Cubs were going to the World Series has been hanging out in a Southside crack house. Yeah, I'm going with B. It's kind of a free-for-all. Here we are. I mean, it's still a week left in June, and to think somebody's going to get to 116 with all the vulnerabilities we've seen is crazy. I'm going B.
The NBA offseason is all of 4 days old, and already there have been a couple big trades before tonight's draft. Rumors are flying and Woj bombs are dropping over who's going where and who will end up with what pick. It seems to be all but a guarantee that Simmons is going 1, Ingram at 2 to the Lakers, making the number 3 pick the most intriguing one in the draft. The Boston Celtics, of course, cheated their way into the number 3 pick and are now looking to cheat their way out of that 3 spot for an established name, but will they get what they want? A. The Celtics have been rumored to be asking way too much for the 3 pick and will end up doing a draft and trade, making a move simply for the sake of making a move. B. They'll pick a guy they think another team will want, but is a bad fit for the Celtics. Then when they try to trade him, they won't be able to, and they'll be stuck with a bad pick. C. Maybe the Celtics actually have a plan in place for not being able to trade their pick, and it's up to the development of the player to figure out if it was a good pick in the end.
Yeah, it's so weird that there's this severe cutoff. At 1-2, we got it, then 3. I got to tell you, I think Brad Stevens is an excellent coach. I think Danny Ainge has proven, if given a free rein by ownership, which he has, he can put a proper plan in place. Hopefully it blows up in their faces because, you know, I hate the Celtics like poison. But I'm going to go with C. I'm actually going to trust them.
the process hasn't exactly worked for the 76ers. It's done nothing but put the 76ers in place for another lottery pick for next June, and then it got their GM fired. The 76ers are rumored to be after that number three pick the Celtics have. Is this the new process the best thing for the Sixers? A, just like going after LeBron or Durant is a surefire way to make your team better, getting as many top five picks is the best process the 76ers should move towards. B, this makes more sense for the Celtics, adding another big name like Nerlens Noel, or maybe taking one of the dozens of top picks the 76ers have accrued over the last 5 years. C, the 76ers are doing nothing but guaranteeing they end up back in lottery discussions next year by trading a pair of top five picks in the draft for guys that aren't proven and aren't ready to play in the NBA.
The 76ers are going to be the first team to have 12 top five picks and be 18-64. So I'm going to go with C. At this point, to go for an unproven that you might have to pay for in 2 years, why not draft an unproven like Hield or maybe even Chris Dunn and let him develop and fit in with who you already have on your roster? C.
A surprising development that came out today, and it's not about the Celtics again, I promise, is that Thon Maker, the Sudanese center, might not be 19, but somewhere between 21 and 23 years old. Teams are now even ruling out taking Maker in the first round. Maker's story is incredible, escaping the Sudan Civil War when he was 5, was discovered as a basketball prospect while playing soccer, and then flip-flopped on the years he told the NBA when he graduated high school to try and be eligible for this year's draft. But is an age dispute really enough reason to drop him out of the first round? A. Maker was in mock drafts going very late in the first round to begin with, so falling out in the first round from like the 28th pick isn't that big of a deal. B. Being an international player and has only played in Canada and at just a handful of NBA camps gives teams too little to rely on to judge his talent. Being 4 years older than he is good enough reason to pass on him. C. Who cares how old he is? If the guy can ball, pick him and see what he can do.
I tell you what, what he's gone through makes it an amazing story. Not seeing enough of him seems really important to pass on him. But if he can play, he can play. Being 19 or 22, we live in an immediate world. I'm going to go with C.